Right, our reading is taken from Philippians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by both hands, put your Bible down, grab him by both hands. Grab him by both hands, look him square. Brother Alexander don't have one. Look him square in the eye. Amen. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, through unity, we become a community. Neighbor, through unity, we become a community." Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "Through Unity, We Become a Community." Now, growing up, Deacon Elwood, I loved playing sports. And when I started getting involved in organized sports, and I always played in what's called team events, baseball, football, all that kind of stuff, the one thing that I would constantly hear over and over again, Sister Rhodes, the coaches would always say, "There is no I." Oh, somebody working with me. So I ain't the only person that heard that. We have to understand that the coaches were telling us that because of the fact that they recognize that if we go out there more self-assertive for what we want, then we're not moving forward together as a team. We are not unified. And the reality is that when you assemble folk together, especially because I use the sports analogy, some of us came from areas in the hood that were rough. Others came from the suburbs of that same city. And we had to put all our stuff aside because our common goal was to play the sport that we were playing, to be a good team, and realize that we had to have unity in order for us to function at a high level. Which in essence is telling us is that with our unity, we have what's called common unity, which we call community. And from that, we were moving forward with one goal in place, and that was to beat whoever we were playing. That's the whole idea, right? Now, if I could take you with that same thought and take you to Philippians, we know about Paul being incarcerated. We know that Paul was about to go before to see Nero and that eventually he would be killed. He understood all that. But one of the things that he wanted to continue to reinforce to the church in Philippi is what they are to be about. And as he is sharing this with them, he knows for a fact that these are some folk who are committed. But still, he wanted to reiterate to them to get them thinking about it so that they don't lose their focus. And when you look at chapter number two, in verse number one, it starts off with a word that ain't but two letters. And that word is if. Brother Mo, if I had to use that 6-iron, I might have got within 5 feet of the pin. But I decided to use the 7. If I had to threw that horseshoe a little higher, I would have got a ringer rather than just have it lean on the pole. If I had got the gas before I left, I wouldn't be stranded on the side of the road waiting for somebody to come. If I had prayed a little more, maybe I wouldn't be going through the hell I'm dealing with right now. If I had read the word of God a little more, maybe I would have a better relationship. If I came to Bible study, I might gain some more understanding. If I came to church on Sunday and let the Lord have his way with me, I might not have been the hellion I was for so long. If I truly got involved in a ministry that the Lord had called me to, my life might have been a little better off than where I am right now. I want y'all to know, if Deacon Booth is a rough word, and I didn't see it right now, but I'm going to talk to you, Ruby. If it's rough on us, and this is how we see Paul starts off in talking to the church in Philippi in chapter 2. He says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion, any sympathy. You see, what Paul wants us to understand, Brother Red, we can't make it if we don't have Jesus. If we gonna live right, Brother Harris, we got to know Jesus. If, Brother Brown, we want folk to love us, how many folk are we loving? If, Sister Dawes, we want folk to share with us, what are we sharing? What we're seeing happening in here is that if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, there ought to be the evidence that Christ is the head of your life, because love ought to be in you. Comfort ought to be in you. Sharing ought to be in you. So what Paul is saying to them is, if. Now, in saying that, I know, I mean, like, what do you mean Paul know what we all about? Good, I'm glad he ruffled your feathers, because he know what you all about. He ain't reprimanding you. He said it like that on purpose, because he wants you to know. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got a choice. And what he is saying is that just because you shout hallelujah don't mean that you love Jesus. Just because you got a Bible under your arm don't mean he the head of your life. Just because you might put a whole big offering in the church doesn't mean that the Lord has filled you with his Spirit, and that you are walking by faith and not by sight. You see, some of us got to understand, and I thank God them some ain't here in this church, but folk got to understand, the only way for the Lord to truly be the head of your life is you got to say, Lord, I want you to be the head of my life. Lord, I surrender all. I'm not trying to live for myself. I'd rather live for Jesus. I know the only reason why I am what I am, where I am, is because I have decided to turn my life over to Jesus. I wouldn't be able to do nothing if I hadn't given my life to Jesus. And because I gave my life to Jesus, I can see the investment he made in me and how he's blessing me. I can't do nothing but give him all glory, honor, and praise. Monica, I wanted it to be clear today. The people of God can't function unless we have unity. Unity in Jesus. Unity. Right? What he here wants to happen in the church in Philippi is that they have to move forward. But they only can move forward through the encouragement in Christ. Because it's how we live for Christ that allows us to have comfort from love, sharing in the Spirit, compassion, and sympathy. God can't move cold-hearted folk. God wants us to have love and a warm heart. Let the hands be cold, but let that heart be warm. You know how some folks say, excuse me, my hands are cold. That's all right. Just as long as that ain't your heart, I ain't mad at you. We also need to have a sympathetic ear. You know why we need to have a sympathetic ear? Because you ain't always do stuff right. And you need somebody to give you a sympathetic ear and listen to you. When you talk about how toe up from the flow up, some of the stuff you know you done wrong and this and that, and how can a God who is about love love somebody like me when I know that what I've done in my life has truly been unlovable? And somebody who was talking to you was sympathetic, showed you compassion, showed you love, and let you know you might have fallen, but you can get back up again because the love of Christ will let you get back up. And then guess what? You are the example of that love because you're showing the love of Christ and how you're dealing with them. Because you know what? Some folk who are cold-hearted say, you got just what you deserve. I'm thanking God. I don't know about you. I'm thanking God I have not gotten what I deserve. I know there was a lot of stuff I deserve, but it's because of God's grace and mercy that I didn't get what I deserve. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is, has not given us what we deserve, but given us just the opposite? I'm going to clear that up a little bit later, too. But to make it even clearer, though, the reason why Paul wants the church to understand, you got to make that choice to do these things. Because Paul knows that he ain't going to be here much longer. And he wants something to happen. And he says it in verse number 2. He wants all this to happen to make my joy complete. Right? Because of the fact that Paul realized that his work was not in vain. And he is just saying this to them to get them to continue to maintain what they're doing and grow in what they're doing. The biggest thing that's an enemy to the church is complacency. Complacency is an enemy because the church ought to be perpetual. We always ought to be moving, doing, looking for more opportunities, looking to do more. Because when the Lord blesses you with more, he wants you to. And if you're not doing more, that means you have gotten somebody working with me. You see, think about it. Think about Deacon Elwood when you first started working and when you finally retired. You were not making the same money when you retired when you first started working. Amen. You know, why? Because you were constantly looking at how you could progress on your job. You wasn't going to be complacent with what you were making. You always were looking to make a little more. And if you wanted to make a little more, you had to put a little bit more effort in it to get some more. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you wanted to get that promotion on your job and you wanted to get a little bit more. And so what did you do? You put in a little bit more work. You worked a few extra hours. You learned more about what the job details and what entails in the job so that you would be prepared. So when that opportunity created itself for you to get that promotion, you can stand up and say, here I am. We were in perpetual motion on our jobs. So why is it when we come to church, we're just satisfied to sit here and clap our hands, shout hallelujah, wave at other folk, then go home and do nothing? Are you hearing what I'm saying, y'all? God doesn't want his people to become complacent. God wants us to be about perpetual motion. When you look at the water in a river or a stream, what is it always doing? No matter where you step, can you step in the same spot twice? Why? Because the water's always. And I'm preparing us because as the Lord moves us over there, I don't want us to get there and get complacent and look around and see what God has already done. No. It's now time for us to go to the next chapter. What do we do next, Lord? What is left for us to do? Because we always have to be in motion because we don't want to become somebody working with me. So what Paul here is saying is this: make my joy complete. He said, if you had all these things, right? Now he's saying, now let me just bring a little bit more clarity to you. He says, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. What? How can we be of the same mind? I grew up in the hood in Orange, New Jersey. And you grew up in the woods down there in the country. You grew up over there. Digging hell, well, what y'all laughing at? Ain't nothing wrong with them woods in the country. You made you a whole lot of money in them woods in the country. All that pulpwood, hallelujah, amen. Go on and say hallelujah. You know you did all right. They can laugh all they want, but you were doing all right in that woods. And then some of us grew up in the city, but on the outskirts. And then some of us grew up in the suburbs. Right? So if we all come from so many different diverse backgrounds, how in the world, D.D., can we be of the... How is it that we can function, Brother Simpson? Because you can relate, because you're from the E.O., I'm from the big O. So you understand what I'm talking about. We have some similarities. But one of the things that we have to get, how can a bunch of folk who have diverse backgrounds, diverse experiences, diverse struggles, diverse tribulations, how can they be of the same? Thank you. You know what it comes to? Jesus. It's Jesus. It goes back to my fraction analogy. On the top of a fraction, you have the numerator. On the bottom, you have the denominator. And in order to add two fractions together, they have to have the same denominator. And the one thing, the reason why we're able to add in the church is because we all have the same denominator, and his name is Jesus. And all of us are here because we all have been saved, healed, delivered, and set free. And we know that without the blood of Christ, we wouldn't have made it this far, because when the Father looks at us, he does not see our sin. He sees we've been covered in the blood, and the Father lets us in, and we can step in with boldness. We all have the same common denominator, and his name is Jesus. Some of us in here got PhDs, some got masters, some have a high school education, some just was blessed. Come on, I'm just being real. But we can still all function as, because our focal point is so. In order for us to move forward, it's not how many letters you got after your name. The question is, are you born again? And if you are born again and you are a child of God, that right there tells me that we all can be of the same mind. Because we're no longer living for self. Deacon Dr. Aldridge, we are living for Jesus, who is the head of our lives. He is the lily in the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the wheel in the... Oh, somebody working with me. And since it's all about Jesus, Jesus came to save, heal, deliver, and set free. To let folk know he can change you when you put your life in his hands. And that's how we can all be of the same mind. Because hasn't the Lord opened up doors for us? Hasn't the Lord knocked down walls for us? Doesn't he wake us up every morning? Doesn't he keep us in our right mind? Doesn't he put food on our table? Don't we have roofs over our head? Don't we have clothes on our bodies? Don't we got money in our pockets? It was nobody but... He is the one that allows us to be of the... But if you don't know him, then we can't be of the. You see, so what Paul is saying is this. If you're going to have unity in the church, you have to be of the same mind. And you also have to having the same love. Wait a minute. We have to have the same love. Same love as who? Jesus. Can I take you someplace? Y'all remember on that Maundy Thursday, Jesus took his disciples into the place where they had the Last Supper. And he, after the meal, he tied a towel around himself and began to wash their feet. All that. One of the folk feet he was washing was the one that was going to betray him. He could have looked at Judas's feet and said, "Hex to the devil." No, hell no. That's how we deal with some folk who we know don't like us. That's how we treat folk who we know done messed over us and lied on us and talked about us. And now you're going through your whatever and you want me to come see about you. Some folk will say, but if we're truly going to be about the same love, we have to have the love that Christ had. We don't just wash feet of folk who going to love us back. We're going to wash feet of everybody. We're going to do what we can to help somebody else. Even if we know the tables were turned, they wouldn't help us. Even when folk have wronged us, we still going to do right by them. We're going to still give folks stuff even though we don't know whether they would give it to us. Now, what am I saying? If you're going to truly be about the love of Christ, you got to understand what grace and mercy is, because God shows all of us grace. God shows all of us mercy. So if we're going to have the same love, we got to learn how to show folk grace and mercy. So some of y'all got a little light on that. Some of y'all got a little light on that. It wasn't that loud. I want you to understand it's all about unity in the church, because we can't become a community until we first have unity. So we got to go back and talk for about one more minute. I understand some stuff folk have done to you has hurt you to the core of who you are. But think about how we lived our lives. Think about the stuff we did. And that's the reason why Jesus, Sister Worthy, had to come and give his life, because we hurt the Father to the core. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? We hurt God to the core. But God so loved the world that he gave his. That's called real love. Real love is when you can love when you've been hurt to the core. Are you working with me, my brothers and sisters? I want you to understand we've hurt God to the core. And I want you to know nobody understood that better than Paul, because Paul was a persecutor of the church. And we're seeing that the Lord Jesus came and showed himself to Paul and to let him know that, guess what? I still love you. Because when he met him on that road to Damascus, what could he have done? He could have struck him down right then and there. But what did God do? He showed him grace and what? Because Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" That means that you have hurt me to the. Oh, somebody working with me. So I understand some folk have hurt you to the core. But in order for you to be who you ought to be in Christ, you got to learn how to forgive folk. You got to show folk grace and mercy. I'm not just talking to you. I'm also talking to myself. Because guess what? I ain't perfect. Ain't going to lie and say I am. And neither should you be lying and tell nobody you burn. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's about unity. And if we're going to have unity and become a common community, this is what we got to do. Because the word community is common unity. Common unity means community. So if we're going to be a community of believers, we first have to have unity individually, and then collectively we become a community. So what Paul is saying is that also being in full accord and of one mind. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, because that's the only thing I want to fill me. I know every now and then, Deacon Jones, I do get hungry. I don't know about you, but I do get hungry. And when I get hungry, I want to eat until I'm all right, somebody working with me. And now that I am a child of God, when I spend time with the Lord, I want the Lord to what? Fill me. Because I want him to fill me with his Holy Spirit. I want him to fill me to do the things that he's calling me to do. And as I do that, I am fully equipped to do the will of God. Because it's not about me. It's about glorifying the one who healed, delivered, and set me free. And his name is? So my brothers and my sisters, do I got any folk in God's house that want to be filled by the Lord? I got anybody in God's house who wants to be filled with his Spirit? Do I got anybody in God's house who wants to be of the same mind? Because it only can happen when we all get full. Unity. So when we look at the verse number 2, he's talking about unity. On what we need to do to have unity. But when we get to verses 3 and 4, he's now talking about community. What kind of community are we? That's the question. Because of the fact that if we are not the community that God is looking for, we might as well just go on and take them pictures down and just forget about what God is going to do. Because we can't do it with 2 or 3 folk. We can't do it with 10 folk. We can't do it with 50 folk. Can God do it that way? Yes. But God brought us all here together as a community. And he wants the community to all take part in us moving forward. But we can't become a community until I first have unity with Christ. And when I have unity with Christ, then I focus on not how we are different, but I focus on how we are the same and what we have in common while we're in this place. His name is. So that's why we move forward, because we are a community of believers who look to the one who took us from a nothing and made something out of us. And when we understand it from that perspective, look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't get lost now. It's about to get good. Look at verse number 3. Do nothing. Do what? From selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than you are, than yourselves, I should say. What is he saying here? What you mean to tell me I'm supposed to look at somebody as though they're better than me? Yeah. Not see, this is where we get struggle. We hear that word better. That they're doing better, that they, well, no, no. What he here is saying, get out the way. Let God get in your way so that God can use you to help somebody. Understanding that you're helping them to be better. Can I throw this out at you? You see, those of y'all who have kids, we all want our kids to do better than we. Did you hear what I just said? We give our kids the starting point and say, here we are. Now, when you go, my expectation is for you to do better than where I am. So as the people of God, as God is using us to rear up others, rear up the babes in Christ, we want them to see better. We want them to do better, because better is there for them. Because once you've got Jesus, you got something that is better. And once we have Jesus, what are the limitations that we have? It's called none. How far can we go? As far as we can trust God to take us. And if we are here, it is our job to help others to see you can do better. You can be better. You can have better. Phil said better and more. More better. So what Paul here is saying, if we're going to truly be a community of believers, I got to want the best for you and not the worst. I got to want to see you excel in such a way that I can't do nothing but praise God. You should want to help me to do the same. And check this out. If we both as a community of believers think like that, that you want better for me and I want better for you, before we know it, we'll be looking up, we'll be up so high looking down like, whoa, that's a long way down. And you look over at me and say, sure enough. Oh, did somebody catch that? Did somebody catch that? Did somebody catch that? That means that when I elevate you, you're elevating me. When I encourage you, you encourage me. When I need a shoulder to cry on, you give me that shoulder. When you need a shoulder to cry on, are you following what I'm saying? You see, everybody wins and nobody loses because we already have the victory. Because we are already more than. So since we are more than a conqueror, don't get caught up that you want better for somebody else. Because as you want better for somebody, they should want better for you. And it's what's happening as I'm lifting you up, you lifting me up. And we just keep going higher and higher. And could you imagine if we all do that for one another? If we all encourage one another? If we all let one another know, I don't care where you came from. I don't care what happened. But now that you got Jesus, you have the better thing. And since you have Jesus, I want you to know he will open doors. He will create opportunities because we serve a God who is limitless. So when I put my hand in God's unchanging hand, I'm putting your hand in God's unchanging hand. And as you lift up my hand, I'm lifting up your hand. And I want you to know our God will make the impossible possible in our lives. Do I got any folk who are willing to lift up their brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we all need one another. Because we are a community of believers. I got to want the best for you. And I pray that you want the best for me. Because God wants to make all of us better. Am I making this up or did we just read that? Didn't we just read that? Whew. Y'all ready to go to this last verse? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with me. Look at verse number 4. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Can I be transparent? Are you going to be transparent? Sister Carolyn, I'm going to go in and just be transparent. There are some Sundays I come here, I don't feel like preaching. There are some Wednesdays I come here, I don't feel like teaching. You know why? It's called life. Called life. Sometimes things are going on, some things are happening and occurring, you know, and when you are a preacher in a family, and I got a big family, I get phone calls, I get this, I get that, I hear stuff about family members and so on and so forth, because they know when they come here, it's like going to a black hole. I ain't got nothing else to say about it. I'm going to pray with you and so on and so forth. So, it's sometimes can be overwhelming. Can I just be real? So when you're thinking about family, especially folk who you love, you know, got an aunt who's 85 years old, battling cancer. She's doing good, but then I got another aunt whose knees are just real bad. And these folk have been very instrumental in my life since my mother passed when I was 14. And then there's others, you know. And then every time a loved one gets called home to glory, Kevin, you coming up to do the funeral, right? What am I going to say? Why? Because it's putting the interest of before your. So even when I come here and preach on Sunday, sometimes it's just life and situations that are going on. That I'll come and I'll sit in this chair, Reverend Rhodes, and I'll take that deep breath and close my eyes and just start praying. Saying, Lord, spirit is willing, but right now the flesh is struggling because of all the stuff that goes on. But the one thing, you know, I've come to realize is that when I let God know something and then I go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul had prayed about the thorn in his flesh, and he prayed three times asking God to remove it. But the Lord came and told him that my grace, and then that's when Paul realized that when I am weak, He's strong. So I'm going to glorify and praise God in my weakness. Because God is not want me to depend on myself. God wants me to depend on Him. So there are times you might not feel like a ministry moment. You might not feel about doing what God is calling you to do. But you got to put the interest of those before you and watch and see how God will show you a new thing in your life. And show you when you thought you couldn't, God made a way for you to do it. Do I got anybody who's been there, had to do that? I tell you, our God is just awesome. He's just awesome like that. If we're going to be a community of believers, put yourself out the way so God can get in the way. If you ever heard somebody tell you, I'm the pilot, but God's my co-pilot. I just erase that out your ears. I want God to be the pilot. I want God to drive. And I'm going to sit in the back seat and say, Lord, wherever you take me, that's where I'm going. Because I know you work all things together for good that love you and for them who are called according to your purpose. All God wants us to be is about our Father's business. And as we are about our Father's business, that means I see you. I see your hurt. I see your pain. So no matter how I'm feeling right now, I got to put it back here so that God can come up here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So my word to you is for us to truly be a community of believers is that we have to see other folk as more important than ourselves. But here again, that when you see them that way, they also see you that way. That means that when you're going through, you are not by yourself. You always got somebody with you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And God will make sure that believers will be there with you as well, because we are a community of believers, because we have unity. We have a common unity, which makes us a community. Our goal is to live for Christ. Our goal is to let folk know there's a healer, a deliverer in the land. There's a sustainer, a maintainer in the land. There is a provider in the land, and His name is... And we don't just let folk know inside these walls. Wherever we go, we let other folk know. Why? Because they need to know Jesus as well. Because if He did it for us, He can do it for them. And truth be told, we ain't always been inside these four walls. There was a time we was out there. And I thank God somebody came to get me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Aren't you glad somebody came to get you? Aren't you glad you weren't left in the cold? Then guess what? Somebody put your interest over their own when they came to get you. Now, what you going to do? What you going to do? Complacency can't exist. Selfishness can't exist. The only thing that can exist is Christ. And us keeping Christ first. And when we keep Christ first, we know we're saved. And since we know we're saved, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And since we are filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you know God gave us a playbook for those that know about sports? And I know a lot of y'all know about sports. And the whole purpose of the playbook is to show you all the design plays on what to do at various times. And don't you know our playbook is called the what? Bible. And I'm thankful that we have the Bible. And I'm thankful for the, for having saints that will encourage and strengthen and pray for you and I. Do you see how we become a community? Because we sometimes got to put ourselves out the way and say, Lord, use us to help this brother. Use us to help this sister. Use us to move forward, to let somebody else know. Yes, Lord, I might be dealing with my own stuff, but Lord, I know you're going to take care of that. So I got to get out the way so you can get all up in the way so that you can bless what is happening. You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord wants us to be become a community of believers, but that only can happen through unity. We become a community. Through unity, we become a community. Through unity. Now, the question is, what do we want? Do we want what we want? Or do we want what God has for us? Are we cold-hearted? Or are we a warm-hearted people? Are we sympathetic? Or we ain't got time for nobody? Are we only going to love those who are going to love us back? You see, Violet, you see you're fanning yourself, right? If I came and grabbed that fan and started fanning you, would you eventually take the fan and then start fanning me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? But as long as I sit there and fan you, whoo, that's all right, don't stop. But when does the fan go from the person who's receiving it, and then they become not just a receiver, but turn into a giver? You see, my brothers and my sisters, this church, a community of believers is all about those who give and who take, who give and who take, who give and who take. You give and you take, you give and you take, you give and you take. If all you do is give, 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 you're going to get bitter. And if all you do is take, 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 folk ain't going to like. Are you following what I'm saying, yo? It is ministry, and Christian life is called give and take. Give and take. And it's not always going to come back the way you send it. But you know the beauty about the whole thing, Sister Battle, is that you might shortchange me on my giving, but you know who ain't going to shortchange? Because my Lord will supply according to his. So whether or not, it comes back the way I send it out, God has already got me. God is taking care of me. God's going to bless me. God's going to make sure I get what I need, when I need it, how I need it. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that our God supplies all of our needs? So even if folk come up short on us, I know my God's going to bless me. Do I got three folk who agree with me? Go on and give three folk a high five and let them know God's got my back. God's going to bless me. God's going to take care of me. Through unity, we become a of believers.